Hello and welcome to episode 835 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick, pray for us. A very happy St. Patrick's Day to each and every one of you. It is Sunday, March 17, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori's Sunday prayer, to the most blessed Virgin Mary to obtain the forgiveness of our sins. Behold, O Mother of God, at thy feet a miserable sinner, a slave of hell who has recourse to thee, and trusts in thee. I do not deserve that thou shouldest even look at me, but I know that thou, having seen thy Son die for the salvation of sinners, hast the greatest desire to help them. I hear all call thee the refuge of sinners, the hope of those who are in despair, and the help of the abandoned. Thou art then my refuge, my hope, and my help. Thou hast to save me by thy intercession. Help me for the love of Jesus Christ. Extend thy hand to a miserable creature who has fallen and recommends himself to thee. I know that thy pleasure is to help a sinner to thy utmost. Help me therefore now that thou canst do so. By my sins I have lost divine grace, and with it my soul. I now place myself in thy hands. Tell me what I must do to recover the favor of my Lord, and I will immediately do it. He sends me to thee that thou mayest help me, and he wills that I should have recourse to thy mercy, not that only the merits of thy Son, but also that thy intercession may help me to save my soul. To thee, then, I have recourse. Do thou, who prayest for so many others, pray also to Jesus for me. Ask him to pardon me, and he will forgive me. Tell him that thou desirest my salvation, and he will save me. Show how thou canst enrich those who trust in thee. Amen. Thus I hope. Thus may it be. Prayer for the conversion of the Jews. Most sweet Jesus, Redeemer of the human race, turn thine eyes of mercy toward the children of that race, once thy chosen people. Of old they called down upon themselves the blood of the Savior. May it now descend upon them a laver of redemption and of life. Amen. We return once more, friends, to Meditations for Lent, this edition published in 1937 by Sheed and Ward, available completely free at fisheaters.com, the traditional Catholic website, which I highly recommend to all listeners of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. And of course, these Meditations for Lent by another great saint and doctor of the church, the angelic doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas. Passion Week, Sunday. The Passion of Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him may not perish, but may have life everlasting. John 3:14-15. We may note here three things. One, the figure of the Passion. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, when the Jews said, our soul now loatheth this very light food, Numbers 21:5, the Lord sent serpents in punishment, and afterwards for a remedy, he commanded the brazen serpent to be made, as a remedy against the serpents and also as a figure of the Passion. It is the nature of a serpent to be poisonous, but the brazen serpent had no poison. It was but the figure of a poisonous serpent. So also Christ had no sin, which is the poison, but he had the likeness of sin. God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and of sin. Romans 8:3. Therefore, Christ had the effect of the serpent against the movements of our blazing desires. That's pretty straightforward, I think. Christ is one of us in all things but sin. He comes to destroy sin because he's the God-man. Only he can do that. No person can do that. God can do that. The Word in the flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. Two, the mode of the Passion. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. This refers to his being raised upon the cross. He willed to die lifted up. Number one, to purify the air. Already he had purified the earth by the holiness of his living there. It still remained for him to purify by his dying there, the air. Number two, the triumph over the devils, who in the air made their preparations to war on us. Number three, to draw our hearts to his heart. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself. John 12:32. Since in the death of the cross, since in the death of the cross he was exalted, and since it was there that he overcame his enemies, we say that he was exalted rather than that he died. He shall drink of the torrent by the wayside, therefore shall he lift up his head. Psalm 109:7. The cross was the cause of his exaltation. He became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath exalted him, Philippians 2:8. This was meant to be, friends, the most horrific, humiliating form of death for the worst criminals, crucifixion, and for those who were considered traitors to Rome. So this was not also a symbol of torture, the crucifix, to be avoided at all costs, but it was also to utterly humiliate people, intimidate them, to be afraid of the Roman Empire, to do anything against the empire. And what does Jesus do? He exalts the cross because of who he is. He redeems suffering because of who he is. Now we kiss the crucifix because of what he did. No longer a sign of humiliation and degradation, but a sign of our Lord Jesus Christ's glorious triumph over sin, Satan, and death. That's why when things happen in the world, and indeed things seem chaotic and exceedingly bizarre, know that God is completely in charge. Totally in charge. And everything that happens in our lives, he can use for the good, even evil, which he turns into good. And we see that on the cross. Does that mean we should just continue sinning? No, of course not. We're all called to repent and believe in the gospel. We're all called to live virtuous lives, not vicious lives. But God shows forth his omniscience and his omnipotence by being able to turn even sin to his advantage, towards the salvation of souls. Three, the fruit of the passion. The fruit is eternal life, whence our Lord says himself, whosoever believeth in him, doing good works, may not perish, but may have life everlasting. John 3:16. And this fruit corresponds to the fruit of the serpent that foreshadowed him. For whosoever looked upon the brazen serpent was delivered from the poison, and his life was preserved. Now the man who looks upon the Son of Man lifted up is the man who believes in Christ crucified. And it is in this way that he is delivered from the poison that is sin, and preserved for the life that is eternal. So you think about the sins that were committed in the process of putting our Lord to death. Well, that's not good for the individuals who are committing the sin, and it's not good for any of us when we commit sin. Because if we die in a state of mortal sin, and only takes one mortal sin, we're reprobated. We go to hell for all eternity. I was struck by Father Nix's commentary on this gentleman I mentioned a couple days ago on the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. He was shot a couple of times in the stomach, apparently, and he was living a very wicked lifestyle. Was a gang member in Chicago. Up to no good, as they say. And he had a vision of hell. He was brought back from the dead. I don't know the particulars, but if it was on the operating table or whatever, but he had a vision of hell, and it corresponded to St. John Bosco's visions and what Our Lady showed the three little shepherds, other saints and eminently holy people who have had visions of hell. What this man saw corresponded to that. So, you know, really giving us the insight that hell is a real place. Obviously, it's a doctrine of the faith. But this man experienced it, and it was horror beyond anything you can possibly imagine. And one of the things that Father David Nix, who's a great traditional Catholic priest, commented on was this man seeing people in hell and seeing that they were remorseful, but not remorseful for their sins, not remorseful for offending God, but basically remorseful that they got caught. In other words, like the guy who gets caught robbing the bank, he's not remorseful for his sins or for offending God and being a thief. He's remorseful that he got caught. So, you know, these souls who were damned wanted more time on earth, not so they could repent, not so they could change their lifestyles and live virtuous lives, but they were just didn't want to be in hell. And that goes along with what, you know, many saints and others who have had vision of hell say. These people are sad that they got caught, not sad because they offended God through their sinful lifestyles. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in hell. But that providing extra impetus to me and Father Nix, and I hope you as well, just to know, to have a good salutary fear that hell is real and souls really do go there. And we don't want to offend our Lord in the slightest thing. We want to love Jesus Christ with the entirety of our heart, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And committing sins, living gravely sinful lifestyles, is like hitting our Lord in the face. We don't want to do that. We want to love him. We want to adore him. And the big way in which we do that is by living a virtuous lifestyle, doing good and avoiding evil, because we don't want anyone to go to hell. We know that there are souls there. We want as many to be saved as possible. So let's lead good lifestyles. Let's be Catholic to the hilt. Let's pray the rosary every single day. Let's stay away from any sort of behavior which would send us to hell. And Dr. Taylor Marshall was saying today on X, formerly known as Twitter, don't get drunk on St. Patrick's Day. Drunkenness is gravely sinful behavior. It's the type of behavior that will send souls to hell. And drunkenness also, you know, when people are drunk, they do other things they don't normally do, like get high on drugs and commit other sins. So let's be chaste, let's be sober, and let's pursue excellence in all that we do for the glory of God. St. Patrick, ora pro nobis. Let us conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. RPM is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now we know she's a comprehensive genius who composes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. How many others like her are out there? RPM has been as big of a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate as sign language was for the deaf. You can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. So please get this information out to as many people as possible. May God richly bless you for doing so. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.